Earners, what's up? Look, in the world of personal finance management, finding the right tool is crucial. If you've been relying on Mint to keep your personal finances in check, I got a mix of news for you. Mint is closing down. But here's a silver lining. Monarch Money is stepping up as the go-to financial app, and users, including myself, are making the switch with a smile. Before Monarch, juggling my finances felt like navigating a stormy sea. Other apps either lacked features or were too cumbersome. Then came Monarch Money. Its ease of use, powerful features, and sleek design turned financial management from a chore into a breeze. The constant updates, well, that's the cherry on top. But what truly set it apart for me was its collaboration feature. Money matters can strain relationships, but Monarch brings peace to the table. The app's collaboration tools allow my partner and I to seamlessly manage our finances together. We aligned on our budgets, tracked our cash flow, and even planned our future goals all in one place. Speaking of goals, be it saving for a down payment, your dream vacation, or your children's education, Monarch simplifies it all. It's no wonder the Wall Street Journal hailed it as the best budgeting app. This isn't just an app. It's the next generation of personal finance management, ad-free, intuitive, and always evolving with you in mind. Now look, Monarch isn't just another app. It's the all-in-one solution, from effortlessly importing your data from Mint to customizing your dashboard to your heart's content. Monarch respects your privacy with a strict no ads, no data selling policy. This is financial management as it should be, focused on you. Look, after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/Mondays. That's monarchmoney.com/Mondays for your extended 30-day free trial.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Record $17 trillion in household debt, $12 trillion in mortgages, $1.6 trillion in auto loans. I want to ask you, what the hell happened to our country? How do we lose our way? And if elected president, what would you do to get us back on track to some of our glory days?
Well, you know, when my uncle was sworn in as president in 1960, we were the richest country in the world. We owned half the wealth on the face of the earth. And we were the biggest exporter of goods. We had the biggest industrial base. Everybody in the world wanted what we had. When I traveled when I was a kid, strangers would ask me to buy my blue jeans. People wanted American transistor radios. They wanted RCA Victrolas, record players. They wanted American automobiles more than anything. We were the gold standard automobile in the world. 3 days before my uncle took office, President Eisenhower, the outgoing president, gave the most famous, what probably is the most important speech now in retrospect in American history, where he warned Americans against the emergence of a military-industrial complex that would turn us into an imperium abroad and to a national security state, a garrison state, a surveillance state at home. And that would bankrupt the American middle class and beggar them in their own country. And my uncle came into office and spent 1,000 days of his presidency fighting against the military-industrial complex. He said, in fact, one of his best friends, Ben Bradley, asked him what he wanted on his gravestone. And he said, what is epithet? He said, he kept the peace. He said the principal job of a president of the United States is to keep the country out of war. And he said that he didn't want kids in Africa who heard of the United States to be thinking of a man with a gun. He wanted them to be thinking of a Peace Corps volunteer and the Kennedy Milk Program, which gave nutrition to tens of millions of malnourished children around the world, of the The Alliance for Progress, the USAID, which he had designed to put America on the side of the poor around the world. And my uncle kept us out of Laos. He kept us out of Berlin in 62, kept us out of Cuba in 61 and 62, kept us out of Vietnam. He never sent a combat troop to Vietnam. And 130 days before he died, he ordered all 16,000 military advisors home from Vietnam. And then he was killed exactly 30 days later. My father ran against the war and the warfare machine in 68, won the Democratic primaries, and then was killed that night. Martin Luther King, who had become a peace activist, disagreed with many of his followers who said, no, stay in our lane. And he said, no, you cannot separate what's happening in Vietnam, the violence that we're exporting and the violence that we're bringing home. You cannot, you know, the war on poverty is being bankrupted by the wars abroad. And he became the loudest voice against Vietnam. He was killed 2 months before my dad. And those traumas, my uncle's assassination, my father's assassination, Dr. King's assassination, the Vietnam War, 9/11 and COVID pushed us down that road against each one of them, a little further down that road against which Eisenhower had warned us about, which is, you know, becoming a military industrial complex. And today we are living in the country that he feared, that Eisenhower feared. We have a kabuki theater of democracy, which is we have kind of these institutions that pretend to be democracy. We all go to vote, we talk about it, but you know, there's nobody in this country that I'm talking to these days that believe that their voices are audible in Washington. And and the capture of the agencies, you know, by industry, by the military, by the oil, by pesticide, by pharmaceutical industry, and by Wall Street finance, the capture of the Fed has inextricably shifted wealth upward to this new oligarchy of billionaires that we have, and has created this system of widespread poverty below, where Americans today are hopeless, they're depressed. They're watching their communities disintegrate. They're pessimistic about their future. There's a whole generation of kids growing up. There was a poll, and I'll shut up. There's a poll that came out a month ago that showed that in 2013, 85% of American kids between 18 and 34 years old said they were proud of the United States of America. The same poll last month showed that only 17%. And so sometime in the administration of the last two presidents, American youth have been completely disillusioned with our country and have become hopeless about their own futures.
If elected, what would you do to restore the middle class and get America back to being in its glory? Because I agree with all the points that you've made, but I think a lot of people want to hear tonight, how you fix those if you get elected?
Yeah, well, number one, I'm going to unravel the empire abroad. We have 800 bases abroad, and you know, I'm going to end the forever wars. There's not been a single war since World War I that we should have been fighting. And those wars have been, more than anything else, have drained our economy, have destroyed our moral authority around the world, and have made us enemies. They've given rise to BRICS now, which is, you know, which controls 90% of the oil. And, you know, our traditional friends like Brazil, Saudi Arabia are now turning against the American dollar. And that cataclysmic impacts of that are yet to be felt in our country. So I'll unravel the empire. I'm going to restore sovereignty and transparency to the Fed so that it no longer is a mechanism for Wall Street shifting wealth upward. I'm going to end the chronic disease epidemic in this country, which is the biggest drain on our capital, where we spend $4.3 trillion now on healthcare. Compare that to $1.3 trillion on military and national security, with $4.3 trillion and about 93% of that is for chronic disease. When my uncle was president, it was 6%. Only 6% of Americans had chronic disease. By 1986, 11.8%. By 2006, 54%. And today, we don't know, because NIH stopped publishing those data. But we know that, you know, all of these diseases that suddenly appeared in 1989, autism went from 1 in 10,000 in my generation to 1 in every 34 kids in your generation. Food allergies suddenly appeared.
Yeah.
Asthma became ubiquitous. My brother, I had a brother with asthma, I had 11 siblings, 70 cousins, and none of them had food allergies. Why do 5 of my 7 kids have allergies? Why did my brother had asthma? He was told by a doctor, his doctor, there'll never be a cure for asthma because it's so rare, nobody will ever study it. Well, now 1 out of every 8 black kids in America's cities has asthma. Why did that happen? It's not, you know, it's not genes. Genes don't cause epidemic. It's environmental toxins.
Toxins, yeah.
What are they, and why aren't we being told that? Where did juvenile diabetes suddenly explode? Rheumatoid arthritis, all these exotic diseases like Crohn's disease and lupus, that suddenly appeared. Eczema, you know, and all of our kids are sick, horrendously sick. We have the sickest generation of children in American history, and we are the sickest country in the world. The reason, you know, we are the worst body count during COVID. We had in our country, we had 16% of the COVID deaths. And we only have 4.2% of the world population. So that's not a success story. Why are people getting awards for that? Why did that happen? 2 reasons. One is total mismanagement. Number two, COVID was killing people with chronic disease. And yeah, we have the highest chronic disease burden on earth. Oh, CDC said that the average American to die from COVID had 3.8 chronic diseases. Now, look at the countries that didn't do what we did, that don't have those chronic diseases. Look at these poor countries. Remember at the beginning of the pandemic, Fauci and Bill Gates all said, oh, we got to get the vaccines to Africa and Haiti because they're going to get wiped out because of their poverty. Well, what happened? Haiti had a 1.3% vaccination rate, and it had 15 deaths per million population. We had 3,000 deaths per million population.
Yeah. So
we had 200 times what Haiti. And black people were dying faster than anybody. So blacks in our country, 3,000 blacks were dying per million population, but in Haiti, only 14 or 15. In Nigeria, which had 1.4% vaccination rate, they had a death rate of 1 in 14 per million. Again, 1/200th of the death rate here. The average death rate in Africa was 320 per million population. That's 1/10 of what we had. So somebody needs to be able to answer those questions. Why were black people in our country dying and black people everywhere else were thriving? You know, we need to understand that.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Spring is in full bloom. Are your finances? With the Chime Secured Credit Builder Visa Credit Card, you can build credit with everyday purchases and regular on-time payments, all with no annual fees or interest. With Chime Secured Credit Card, you can start improving your credit scores right away. Get started today at chime.com/build. That's chime.com/build. Chime. Feels like progress.
The Chime Credit Builder Visa Credit Card is issued by Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. Members FDIC. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal and OTC advance fees may apply. Terms and conditions apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details.